Good morning, church. The title of the message this morning is The Royal Call. And I've given it quite a dramatic entrance because of two essential questions we need to ask ourselves every now and again. Who we are and why He chose us. And if we like it or not, we are living in a world or a day and age where there's a lot of resources, like Jerome said. There's many voices speaking to our lives, from media to Facebook and Twitter. Every second person seems to have some sort of revelation of who God is and who we are. And the purpose of the message this morning is just to bring everything back into perspective. These two areas constitute the biggest battlegrounds that we have to face on a daily basis. This is where the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy our identity and our purpose. I want us to open this morning to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And the Lord has given us a scripture here that speaks directly into these two areas. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And I'm going to declare it over you this morning that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. All right? You are a chosen generation. This means that you have been born for such a time as this. God has positioned you for this time. You are a royal priesthood. Royalty signifies that you are heirs, that you are legitimate sons and daughters. And the priesthood signifies your function as the heir and as a son and daughter. A holy nation, His own special people. That means He's separated you to Himself. And why? So that we can proclaim the praises of Him who has pulled us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Amen. So this morning what I want to do is I want to try and break open to us the royal priesthood. And if we look at the priesthood in the Old Testament, we can use that as our blueprint, that the priesthood had three primary functions. The first, they ministered to God. You can see that in the sons of Zadok and Ezekiel. They ministered to God. Today we call this praise and worship. The second function is that the priest would go into the most holy of holies on behalf of the people. Today we call this intercession. And thirdly, the priesthood would then minister to the people. They would bless the people. And I want to call this ministry or witnessing. Now I know last year Christoph covered quite a bit about who we are in God, and this year we're looking at the different ministry zones. What I want to do is we're going to start with praise and worship. So you can open your Bibles to, we're going to be moving around in the Bible a bit, to Psalm 118. And while you page there, the Bible teaches us that we must worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In other words, there is a spirit realm. Okay, and if we can imagine God living in the city with these fortified walls, unbreachable walls, the walls of salvation, there's no way into the city unless going through the gates. And David is going to show us here what are the gates and with what attitude do we enter the gates. Psalm 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them. And I will praise the Lord. Notice what side of the gates we start praising Him. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. So we see to enter these gates, we need to be in right standing with God. In other words, we lay aside all unrighteousness. David teaches us, who can ascend the hill of the Most High? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. Can we go to that Psalm 24 quickly? That has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And this is our first key, all right, to worship, intercession, and ministry, is that we want God's favor. We want God's blessing. Okay. A beautiful scripture I read the other day in the Bible, it was in Job, I think Job 22, verse 30, that said that God will even deliver the guilty on the cleanliness of our hands. I think that's such a beautiful promise. Okay, so we see that here's the gates of righteousness we have gone through, and now David's going to show us with what attitude we enter these gates. Psalm 100. All right, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. And here's our motivation, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. When we worship God, this is something that we got to understand. We don't worship God as the old man. We worship God as the new man. And it's the new man that has been renewed in the spirit of his mind. He's not governed by emotion. The old man is governed by emotion. In other words, I didn't get the loan at the bank. I'm not going to worship. My week didn't go as I had it planned. I didn't feel blessed. I'm not going to worship. And we see the new man, he's been renewed. In other words, there's always an excuse to worship. God is always good. His mercy endures forever. He is truth to all generations. Can you see? There's always an excuse to worship and be thankful to the Lord. I was listening to Derek Prince the other day. I don't know if you know who Derek Prince is. On worship. And it was amazing. He broke up praise and worship into three main areas that just made so much sense to me. Thanksgiving, praises, and worship. And we see with thanksgiving relates to God's goodness, his mercy, his kind, his love is with us. Praises relate to God's greatness. He's almighty, all sovereign, King of kings, Lord of lords, name above every other name. And worship relates to God's holiness. And if you look at any reference on worship in the Bible, you'll see that it's a body attitude. They bowed and worshipped. They lay prostrate and worshipped. They bowed their heads and worshipped. So we see there's an attitude of surrender, of humility. Who am I to question you, Lord? That kind of mentality when it comes to God's holiness. And now that we are in the inner court, before the throne of God, this is where intercession starts. Okay, so we're going to look at intercession as our second function of the priesthood. And before I go in there, we need to pull down the lie that is over the church internationally. And you've probably heard it before. I'm not an intercessor. And I'm saying this is a lie because this is something that I walked in for many years. And until the Lord showed me that we're all called to intercede. That means if you've ever prayed for a sick granny, if you ever prayed for a friend that's on a road to destruction or a sibling, or if you've ever prayed in anybody's crisis, you are interceding. You are an intercessor. Okay? I remember, two and a half years ago, I still had a lot of pride in my life, and I walked into Crystal's office, and I said to him, God has given me a gift. This gift I've received. And I asked him, how is the church going to sharpen this gift that God has now given to me? How is the church going to show me how to walk in this, operate in this big gift that God gave me? And he looked at me and he said, Colin, you've got to join the intercession. And I looked at him and I smiled. And have you ever smiled but you're thinking something else? You know, you can do that, eh? You can smile and think, what are you talking about? You know, my idea of intercession was old ladies in some room somewhere. They haven't eaten for 6 weeks. They're crying on their knees before God, and I'm not that kind of person. But anyway, I don't know if it was obedience or what it was, but I started going to intercession, and it was amazing to see how the Lord started showing me how to pray. And, you know, we have intercession in, this is one thing we need to be clear here. We are so privileged that we are in a church that we can grow in all three areas. Worship, intercession, and ministry. These are the three areas that this church gives us a platform to grow. Isn't that fantastic? And so I started going to the intercession, and what the Lord showed me, and what I can share with you, is that if you want a heart for this country, start praying for it. If you want a heart for the poor, start praying for the poor. If you want a heart for your enemy, start praying for your enemy. I can guarantee you God will give you this heart of an intercessor. All right. For the sake of intercession, I want to look at Esther. So let's page to Esther in our Bibles, Old Testament, chapter 4. Okay. For those that don't know the story of Esther, Esther was a Jew, a Jewish lady. And she became a queen in the Palestinian palace. And her uncle's name was Mordecai. He was one of the gatekeepers there. And there was another character called Haman. And Haman just had recently been reinstated with power and authority and promotion. Excuse me. And everybody was worshiping Haman. But Mordecai would not bow. He was a Jew. And Haman was furious. So he goes to the king and says, listen, there's a people in our land. They have their own traditions and customs. They worship their own God. And I want your permission just to wipe them out. And all they possess will go straight to the king's treasury. And the king thought this was a good idea and gave his signet ring of approval. And when Mordecai heard of this, he sent message to Esther. Esther, go before the king and plead for your people. And this is intercession. It's going before the king on behalf of others. So Esther then sends word back to Mordecai and says, listen, don't you know the law? You don't just walk into the king's presence unless you're called or summoned. And he hasn't called me for 33 days. Anybody that just goes in there and the king, if he doesn't stretch out that golden scepter, you're put to death. No questions asked. And so Mordecai sends word back to Esther, and this is where I want to read from, verse 13. Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told him to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace, across from the king's house, while the king sat on the royal throne in the royal house, facing the entrance of the house. So it was, when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in the hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. This short little passage gives us so much info concerning intercession. It's so amazing. And I want us to see the attitude of the intercessor through these scriptures. For example, like in verse 14, if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. We've got to understand that when we intercede, this is a privilege. It is an honor to go before God. It's a mental understanding of God could have chosen anybody else. It is with this honor that we go before the Lord. Yet who knows whether you have come to this kingdom for such a time as this? Remember we spoke about the chosen generation, that God has positioned us into society. I mean, if you look at it, you've got neighbors, you've got immediate family, The kids have school friends and class. We have bosses. We have employees. We've got colleagues. God has already positioned us to be his witness, to be his intercessors where we are. Amen? All right. So Esther says, okay, go gather people. Let's fast. 3 days, 3 nights. Let's not eat nor drink. Notice the unity of the people when they come before God. You know, many times when we fast, this guy is doing a popcorn fast, and this guy is doing a Milo, and some other ones heard about a Daniel. And when we fast and we come before the Lord, we should try and come in as one, one mind, one voice, in unity. Fast together, the same thing. Okay, so here's Esther saying, if I perish, I perish. Look at the commitment of the intercessor. So she goes on the third day, and she puts on the royal garments. And this is the emphasis of today. Taking up the function. Putting on our garments. And stood in the inner court. Her intercession is done in the inner court. And then the king stretched out his golden scepter, and she went to touch the golden scepter. In other words, acknowledging the mercy of the king. And this is another thing in intercession, is that we need to acknowledge the mercy of God. David sang about it throughout the Psalms. Your mercy endures forever, Lord. Your mercy endures forever. The Bible talks about it being fresh every morning. His mercy is fresh every morning. So we need to acknowledge the mercy. We must never lose the wonder of his mercy and grace. Amen. All right, so that's my intercession. And finally, the witnessing and ministry. We can go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6 for this one. I hope I'm not giving you too much info or bombarding you with too much stuff here. I hope we're all following and understanding what's going on. Amen. When we start to witness, we are entering a battlefield. I could see that in my own life, in my salon, as I started to witness about the Lord, I could sense a battle's going on. And the Lord wants us to learn how to stand. And that's why we need to put on the armor of God. But I also want us to notice how the armor, putting on the armor, is so connected to intercession. Verse 14, Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, you can underline this in your Bible. Above all, taking the shield of faith, verse 17, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, verse 18, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There we see it as above all, prayer is part of the armor. It's part of putting on the armor. Paul in verse 19 says that, and pray for me that utterance may be given to me and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I want to pray this over the Malawian team this morning, that God will give you utterance, that you will speak, open your mouth boldly, that you will make known the mystery of the gospel. And we declare over you that you are ambassadors, that you may speak boldly and that you may speak as you ought to speak. May you be blessed, the Malawian team. May God truly be with you and walk with you and show you and guide you by His Spirit. And our last scripture is in Isaiah 61. How are we doing for time? All right, Isaiah 61. We all know the scripture, but I want to show you something here. Another beautiful scripture, and I'm going to declare it over you this morning. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you, because He has anointed you to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent you to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that you may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And here's our last key, that he may be glorified. We need to understand in all three functions of the priesthood, it's all about glorifying God. In our worship, we glorify God. In our intercession, we glorify God. May his name be glorified. So when we pray for the Malawian team, we pray, God, may they usher in your peace into Malawi to take out all hopelessness, that you may be glorified. Lord, may the Malawian team bring truth into Malawi that will take out every lie of the devil, that you may be glorified. It's always about him in our worship as well. So to close off, we can see that we are God's chosen for the specific time. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, for today. We have been positioned in Christ Jesus. We are his royal priesthood, his sons, his daughters that have put it on their robes to be his witness in the earth, to be his ambassador. Let us pray. Father, forgive us for the wrong we have done. Jesus, Redeemer, surrendered here we have come. We enter the gates of the righteous with thankfulness in our hearts. We come running through your courts with praises. How great thou art! How great thou art! In your presence we come bowing. How holy, holy you are. In your presence your glory is shining. How great thou art! How great thou art! Thank you, Lord, that it's all about you. Thank you, Jesus, for the price that you pay, that we can come and be legitimate before the Father. Thank you, Lord, that your word not only corrects, but it encourages, it blesses, it enriches, it moves us, Lord. I pray for a fire in each one of our hearts this morning, in each three areas. We thank you, Lord, for our church that's given us the platforms to grow in each area of the priesthood. We thank you, Lord, that we can declare this morning that we are your chosen, that we are your royal priesthood, your own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of you that has taken us out of darkness and pulled us into your glorious light. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.